Hello and welcome to the first episode of Dave Wright's Short Story Podcast. I am your host, Dave Wright. Each week I'll be releasing two episodes until I break down and finally lose my grip on reality. One episode is me sharing one of my short stories here, and the other episode where I'll be narrating my novel, titled Soul, one chapter a week. At the end of each episode, I will talk about the story, where it came from, how it came together, or anything else that comes to mind. So if you're interested, then stick around at the end. Today's short story is called Mr. Gumpus.
Good night, Mr. Gumpus,
I said, shifting the little bear into the crook of my arm, his patchy fuzz scratching my neck as it had for so long. Over the years, his fur has slowly been going. I've replaced his glass eyes so many times, I can do it in my sleep now. I've repaired his arm onto his body that he lost in one of the many fights with my sister. Neither of us even know what we fight for anymore, but it's been going off and on for the last year or so. About the same amount of time that Mummy has really got into those adult drinks that she won't share with us. I try to smile into my pillow, as I used to when I thought of Mum. The memories of being tucked in, of being soothed to sleep, her comforting hand on my head when even Mr. Gumpus was not enough. Now I just remember her sitting in front of the TV waiting for Daddy to finally come home. He works so hard these days. Some nights, like tonight, I don't even get to see him before he gets home. He is not there to kiss me goodnight, to check my closet or blow my bed for monsters. He never remembers to leave the door slightly open either. I need Mr. Gumpus. I can feel the soft blanket of the night settle over me, and I snuggle deeper against Mr. Gumpus. Poor kid, I mutter as I watch Michael finally succumb to sleep. I'm too old now, I'm too old for this. Checking my dodgy arm to see if his work will hold this time. Looks good, but a little stiff. At least this time I will have both eyes. That was a bad few weeks when I had no depth perception. I barely kept the monsters at bay. Straightening up out of Michael's sleeping grip, I readied myself. Another night of battle. I should have been retired years ago, but he kept holding on. Poor bastard. Looking over my patched and worn form, I know I do not have much more to give. I could hear Mary down in the den, the TV running way too loud, another heavy night of drinking. I wonder what excuse Paul will bring home tonight. He's been getting worse and worse. Shivering as I recall the event 2 weeks ago, that had really taken the stuffing out of me. Grinning mirthlessly at the old pun, I could still remember the front door banging open, the smell of beer and cigarettes heavy in the air, fighting against the plume of smoke and alcohol sprites as they tried to enter Michael's room. I'd kept them at bay, and then Mary had heard him, stomping up the hallway, bringing with her a cloud of betrayal sprites. When she saw him in this state, there was no defense that Paul could offer this time. His usual bout of late work or international call would not do it. Even so, I could see the lying wisps flickering around his head. But thankfully, none of them were fully formed. Shaking my head, I brought myself back to the present as I heard a taxi outside. Readying myself, I didn't know what to expect tonight, but for Michael's sake, I would try. I felt so goddamn tired. I should have been given a proper burial years ago, added to the other fallen warriors in the great box in the attic. No time for pity now. The front door was opening. Instantly, seduction and infidelity wisps, fully grown, started to stream into Michael's room. I stood straight up on the side of his bed and brought the fight. Wielding trust and faith, my reliable short swords, I spun them through the air, matching the wisps' dancing flights. There were too many. Paul's heavy breathing in the hallway summoned alcohol and pain fairies into existence with every breath. They flocked towards Michael, threatening to destroy him. Arms blurring, I kept them at bay. Trust and faith were flashing faster and faster. My repaired arm was already starting to ache. No, Mary had not even shown up yet. Not tonight. I would not let them through tonight. The fairies and wisps were circling over Michael, trying to find a way past my defenses. I would not let them. The sound of the TV from the den died. I got a brief respite from the battle. The attackers were waiting for reinforcements. Mary was coming.
What the hell kind of time do you call this?
The cry bounced down the corridor, bringing jealousy and its own pain fairies winging along with it. The battle was rejoined. They struck. I was dancing, spinning my way through the forms taught to me by my master, the Great Pillar Lion. I could do this. I could feel the tide of the battle holding. I just had to keep it up. I'd survived so many battles already, I could do this. My fur was fraying more and more, but I could keep this up. For Michael, I could do this.
Lay off it, Mary,
Paul sullenly rejoined. I've had a long day, and I just want to get home without you yelling at me. Oh God, resentment worms, giant pale slugs, had started to inch their way across the threshold. Spiraling and keeping an eye on them, I'd heard tales of these, but never had to face them in battle. Not tonight, please.
You've had a bad day.
A long day with that secretary of yours, no doubt. These were no longer pain fairies, they were too big. Giant winged monsters, dark black and mottled red, started to zip into the room, their ponderous leathery wings joining the lighter, higher notes of their cousins. I spared a glance back at Michael, still sleeping the sleep of the innocent. I would not fail tonight. The resentment worms had started to work their way up the edge of the bed. It was too much. Too much for just me. I would have to call upon the magic that I knew were running out. It was a scarce resource, but I had to keep going, and against this onslaught, I needed it. Muttering a word, I tapped into Michael's sleeping form. Shunting down through his memories, I dug and dug for an unused memory. There were precious few left for my needs. Most had already been drained in previous battles. The slugs were getting closer, on the blanket now, oozing their sightless way towards Michael's sleeping form. The aerial assault was not stopping. I kept digging through his memories. There had to be something left. There, I found it. It was a bright, sunny Saturday. Michael was about 5 and Nancy was about 7. It was a family barbecue down by the river, and they spent the day playing cricket with a tennis ball and a bat from a plank of discarded wood. Trust and faith burst into brilliant light lit by love. They flashed down and severed the leading head of the resentment slug clean off. For a moment, the onslaught paused in the face of this newfound power. I didn't wait. I couldn't wait. Winding my way quickly through the last of the slugs, their filthy tar-like blood leaving streaks on my blades. I had to finish it now before they realized that I'd tapped Michael's memories dry. Outside, though, I knew it would not last. There were no lions being brought into existence. Oh God, no, he couldn't be, could he? I shook my head despairingly. Then I heard the soft of what should have been truth angels, but I knew these would be twisted and dark. Yeah, I was, Paul whispered out. Stace never yells at me. She loves me as a man. I don't have to put up with her bitching at me all the time. What should have been glorious incarnations of light brought forth via truth did not appear. Instead, they were deformed versions, their wings dripping gore, their faces transfigured and horrible. They flew not with their swords of truth and honor, but with viciousness and hate. They were coming straight for Michael. Steadying my grip on trust and faith, I was ready to bring battle. My fur was missing in so many places. My stitched arm was barely holding on. I'd lost an ear at some point in the fight, but I don't remember when. The dark ichor from the slugs was eating into my stuffing. I would win this fight for Michael, as I had done so many countless nights before. And then I heard Mary crying. More and more winged beasts joined the fray. I knew then I would have to draw on the dark powers. They were shown to me one night by the Great Pillar Lion. That night, when Paul and Mary had fought for hours, when they were both crying, we were lost. When the Great Pillar Lion had turned to me and said, "I'm going to show you something now, young warrior. I pray you never have to use it. To draw on it too deeply is its own kind of death." I needed that power now. I had drawn too much from Michael. He had no reserves left. The ichor was covering the blades, dulling their fiery glow. I closed my eyes and drew deeply. I could feel it, the black welling up and covering not just the swords but myself, my whole body, filling in the missing shreds of my fur. I felt murky and soiled. I drew deeper and hardened myself to it, ready to use the dark power of denial. I struck true, but the glory of victory was not there. Each sprite, each fairy that I destroyed, just felt like another defeat. Michael was murmuring behind me in his sleep. Mary was crying, and Paul was much too quiet. I could not keep this up. Even with the mighty power of denial, I was failing. I was slowing down. I couldn't do it. I was going to fall. A massive hit left me staggering, and I fell to my knees. With a great cry, the horde knew I was beaten, as Mary continued to sob. Paul was saying something, but it was lost behind the cacophony of the sound of victory. As I felt my fur being torn apart, I struggled to turn and look once again at Michael's sleeping form. I was done. I just hoped that I had done enough. I had shielded his childhood as much as I could. Maybe I would end up in the great box in the attic. Mary uttered the words that would summon my death. I heard her clearly. I want a divorce. Then it all went dark as I felt what I'd been defending for so long die. I felt innocence die. What? Exclaimed Paul.
You heard me, you bastard. I want a divorce.
They both froze when they heard from behind the cracked door a sleepy,
Mr. Gumpus. Mr. Gumpus, where are you?
Go back to sleep, Paul barked. Mary and Paul both watched the door. It slowly creaked open to show Michael rubbing his eyes in his little Thomas the Tank Engine pajamas. He stared blearily at them both and then asked,
What's a divorce?
That was Mr. Gumpus. I hope everyone enjoyed it. I barely remember writing this story now. It came out onto the page fully formed in one writing session. It's a pretty grim story, but I like to think there's something else there. A coming of age. There were hints through it that Michael knows what's going on, and yet still clings to his childhood innocence. To be fair though, I never had a clear idea in my head how old Michael is in this story, so I could just be channeling my shit childhood. Nothing quite like having to grow up incredibly fast. The inspiration for this piece actually came from a Reddit writing prompts post. Something like, your teddy bear has to fend off actual monsters. It sounded interesting, so I did what I always do when I start to write, put on some incredibly loud banging music, and shut off all thoughts, and just write. When I first shifted to Mr. Gumpus's perspective in the sentence, I'm too old now, too old for this, it really should have ended in shit. In my mind right there, he took on the grizzled old detective trope, so well played by Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon. Mr. Gumpus knows the score, he knows what's really going on in the family, and he's doing his best to protect Michael, to keep his childhood alive. Manifesting all the evils and ills as their own unique monsters was fun. I'm not sure where that idea came from. I think I'd been reading about Shinto at the time, no idea why, ADHD probably. And in Shinto, everything has a soul. Rivers, mountains, trees, household objects, everything. So, why not emotions and incorporeal things? I'd not really written a fight scene before, so I'm proud of how it turned out. I did not realize how difficult it is to write, though. You have to keep the action going, but you still need to have enough description so people don't get lost. I know what's happening, but that's because I'm the one writing it. Trying to bring other people along for the ride, it's a weird balancing act. As for the parents, I wanted them both to be trash bag people. Neither was good, they're both terrible, and the kind of people who stay in the marriage for the kids, without ever properly looking at themselves to realize they're just using it as an excuse because they're cowards. That being together, they're doing far more damage to their children than they could ever do apart. At the beginning of this, I had a vague notion of riding out a battle with the fighter as a teddy bear, and he would be hurt, but emerge victorious. The further along I got, the worse it got. There's no happy ending to be found here. Mr. Gumpus using memories as wells of power was a fun find, but as it was coming out, I knew that he wouldn't have anything left. Not if Michael was raised in this environment. There would be some happy memories before it all went to shit, but they would have already been tapped. So, what was left? What did children need to use when they're forced into these adult situations they've not been equipped for emotionally, mentally, by their parents? Denial. It works that Mr. Gumpus could use it. He had to. He had no other choice. He tries to hold on to Michael's childhood, to deny that anything was wrong, they're still one happy family. Mr. Gumpus was not trying to hold on to preserve the fairy tale notion of childhood. He was holding on to try and ensure that Michael was old enough to properly handle what he was going to have to face. To attempt to end this on a lighter note, I'll tell you where I got the name Mr. Gumpus from. I got that from a filk singer named Tom Smith. Yes, I didn't mispronounce the genre, it's called filk. It's like folk music for sci-fi or fantasy settings. I listen to a lot of music, don't judge me. He had a song called Take Your Hands Off the Bear, who was called Mr. Gumpus. It's a very sweet song, would recommend checking it out. I'll link to it in the show notes and on my website. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me on the very first episode. If you have any questions, comments, feedback, then you can find me on my website, davewrights.com. That's Dave, WRIGHTS.com. I know it's confusing. No, I'm not going to change it. It's an amazing pun that my friend gave me. I also have a Patreon, because of course I do. Details on my website. As we all know, first episodes are usually janky AF. So I hope you enjoyed, and I'm looking forward to you all joining me again next week. Take care.